gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Tila Page, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salvin.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Good evening.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man over by the bar, Barman.
Yeah.
Guys, nice. We are upstairs at Fontana's today.
That's ooh, very exciting.
That's we got a chandelier.
Yep, yeah. And no other lights. This is the way they did it in the Frontier.
Yes, we're going to slowly romance you guys tonight. I hope that's okay.
Oh, it's going to be a real slow jam sex party.
Now, can I bring it down for a little bit? I know this doesn't have a lot to do with comics, but before I came here today, I want you guys to bear with me. I had my first ever cavity filled.
Oh, that's
on
so
the way
cute.
Over here.
Was first it in ever. One of your baby teeth, or did you drop those?
They haven't fallen out yet.
That's weird. You're a shark man.
Did you get what?
Did you get any candy? Did you get like a little?
No, they didn't give me any more
dentists
candy.
Dentists are anti-candy. I don't know if you've been there.
They
ever.
Drilled into my teeth
and
they
found
out. I haven't
been to the dentist in a while, so I don't.
You should go.
My teeth actually now are 90% candy.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's all Tic Tacs.
Yeah, there we go. You were telling me just before this.
Here's a little lesson about dentistry.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in the country, and so we didn't have. We lived on well water, so there's no fluoride.
Oh.
So I'm doomed for my life to have easily cavitated teeth. And so
well
I
water?
Went to the dentist in college. I went to the dentist, and he was like, "Oh, you just have 5 cavities." I was like, "Oh shit, that's a lot."
Just 5?
Just 5.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just all of your teeth.
Just pretty much all of them. How many teeth do you have? 36. Many of them have cavities, have fillings. So he was like, "I can either do all of them now, or I can't do your whole mouth. I can do half now, and you can come back in 2 weeks, or I can do all of them with no anesthesia." I was like, "Bro, let's do it."
Wow.
I didn't want to drive back.
You're hardcore.
So he drilled them all, no Novocaine, and I'll tell you what. It was terrible. I'm not going to lie to you. It was painful. It was a grinding drilling in my mouth. You know what it's like.
No, it took like 5 minutes, and I was happy the whole time.
Well, you were happy the whole time?
I was like,
did you get the gas?
You got gas?
No, I didn't get gas.
Should
I have asked for gas? I'm going to go back now and get some gas.
Yeah, you should.
I was here earlier today. Could I have a little gas? Just a boost?
What's well water? Like, where
water
were you
from a well. Like, if you live in a city or town.
There was one well where there was like a lady working the crane. Like, what? I don't know.
Yeah. Martha. It's great.
Amazing.
She had no teeth.
I bet.
Because she grew up on well water. I can tell you.
No, I was just going to say, point is don't do drugs, everybody.
I can tell you about my frontier life another time.
Yeah. Well, we got some clapping for don't do drugs.
That's great. Just one. He's wasted, though.
Guys, I'm very excited about the show that we have tonight. We have two amazing guests for you. They're both fantastic editors.
Star
editors. The lead editors at Marvel Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Lowe and Todd Brevoort.
Yeah!
Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome.
Come on down.
Hello.
Nice. Welcome.
Welcome to the show, guys. Slide on in. Oh, thank you guys so much for coming.
Yeah.
I'm jumping in, Tom. I'm getting close to Alex.
Yeah.
Cozy up.
We are snug.
Yeah. It's nice.
It was just one in my entire life. I ate so much sugar.
I didn't even eat sugar.
I could trace it back. It was the week before that. I was like, I don't have any gum. I guess I'll just have this candy to freshen my mouth. Yeah. And I was just eating candy. I don't know.
What sort of Mr. Magoo world do you live in?
Who does like candy? Tom Brevoort.
You do?
Oh, he's a candy man.
Any of his own teeth. They're all like stolen from children.
Wow.
Teeth of children.
I'm going after I'm done here.
He's the tooth fairy.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I recognize you from when I was a kid. Oh, it's great to finally catch up. Sorry about all those cavities.
Guys, let's talk about comic books instead of cavities. What do you say?
The dental hour.
That's a great idea.
No, this is Dental Book Club. The most boring book club of all.
Guys are great tooth editors.
Yes. So, big thing that's coming up in Marvel, it's actually launching this month, I think, is Marvel Now. Can you...
October.
All right, never mind. Come back then. Cool.
The show.
Let's talk about Marvel Now. For those of you who don't know, I imagine a lot of people in the audience do know, but maybe some of our listeners don't. What is Marvel Now and what's going on? As far as I understand it, it's a complete reboot of everything that's going on in the Marvel Universe.
It's not a reboot.
Oh, okay.
It's not a reboot.
It is not a reboot.
It's a boot.
It is a coordinated creative shift amongst most of the big titles.
Oh, you need a cool
That's
name
a long
for that.
Title,
you need an acronym or something. Coordinated Creative Shift?
Yeah, I love it.
Have you heard about the Hypershake going on at Marvel? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. For Marvel now, that's really cool. So because of this, this is going to be the fallout of Avengers versus X-Men. Some people getting new costumes. Some people getting new
identities.
What? Identities.
Pretty much all the big books are going to have new creative teams. So it's writers and artists who are not associated with these particular titles coming on board, taking them off in different directions. A fresh start for just about everything in the aftermath of AVX.
The world is topsy-turvy. Brian Bendis, who's been on the Avengers pretty much since Sabretooth Tigers were roaming around the Manhattan, is now going to be on All New X-Men, this book launching with Stuart Immonen. You got Jonathan Hickman, who was on the FF books, coming over to Avengers. You've got Rick Remender on Uncanny Avengers, which is our first launch of Marvel Now. Uncanny Avengers, Rick Remender, John Cassaday.
That's awesome.
It is some badass shit, y'all.
That's even a better
I've been waiting to say that. I mean, I don't even really edit the book. Tom does. But I've been waiting to say that. But you're like, we have to censor ourselves for just about every other kind of interview thing we do. But here, so we can drop all the app. Tom,
no, we're
fuck
dirty.
Yeah. Tom has the mouth of a sailor. He bought it.
Yeah, mouth of a sailor, tooth where, of a candy man.
It's where the teeth came from.
Yeah, sailor's teeth.
So why was it time for this switch? Why was it time to move everything around like this?
It just felt like a bunch of our guys, while they're very creative and excellent at what they do, have been in the same place for a good long while. Brian was on Avengers for about 8-9 years. Ed Brubaker was on Captain America for about the same amount of time. And it just felt like it was time to switch things up, keep it from getting stale, putting guys in different places, let them exercise their creative juices, and just kind of go for broke.
Yeah, and they wanted. I mean, Brian was kind of chomping at the bit to get out from under the tyrannical hands of Tom and come over.
I look forward to talking
come
to
over
6 months
the,
from now, Nick Lowe.
To the safe harbors of future Nick Lowe.
Yep. So you're saying it's all like politics and
rooms, it's a lot like the West Wing.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Only we talk a lot slower.
And barely walk.
There's no more walking. There's no walking.
Yeah, he refuses to walk. Like getting the amount that Alex had to pay Tom just to walk from over there to over here was incredible.
We lured him with candy.
Yep, there's
a trail. It's a trail. 2 year-olds.
Empty promises and broken dreams.
Yeah.
So how much of it is actually driven by the artist versus you guys making trades between the offices? How does that work behind the scenes?
It was
I'll give you Remender if you give me Bendis.
Yeah.
No, it was mostly the creators. It mostly started with them. Yeah, you know, we have 2 or 3 times a year we have a big editorial retreat where we bring a bunch of our key creators out. We talk about a whole bunch of things, what's going on in the Marvel Universe, what's coming up, their story ideas, and so forth. And at one of these 2 or 3 sessions ago, as we were getting into AVX, Axel started talking about, well, maybe it's time to kind of shake all the books up. And if we were going to do something like this, you know, putting aside that you love the thing that you're doing right now, what characters would you want to do? What books would you be the most interested in? And as those pieces started to get jostled around, you begin to get patterns. Like,
did they
know,
fight? Did anybody fight?
Yeah, it was
no actual fights,
rumble?
But there was a lot of.
That's what you say, but there was some Indian leg wrestling. Some Indian
that's
leg wrestling.
That's how gentlemen fight.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Like you know, kind of the modern Marquess of Queensbury boxing rules. You know, Indian leg wrestling.
Wow. For those of you who don't know what Indian leg wrestling is.
Yeah, I'm curious. You grew up in the woods.
In the country, yeah.
So. Yeah.
I grew up in the 19th
century. Is there enough room? Can we show people?
Oh, we could do it. You want to do it?
Yeah, let's all do right. it. I will destroy
wow.
you.
Wow.
It's some Indian leg wrestling.
Keep you, your mic.
Tom, protect
okay,
my
Justin
beer.
Is now
protect
on the
my
floor.
Beer with your life.
They're both laying on the floor now. And what seems it's not
and
a
I'll tell you what, I haven't done this.
Okay, all right.
Just side by side sex.
Real quick,
ladies
this is going to look sexual for like a minute.
They're laying parallel.
This is what comes of drinking well water.
The theater of the mind.
Yeah, okay. So, okay. Are there any
Justin's
there,
one. Legs are, wait, the razor.
Two.
Legs and a scissor.
Three. Yeah!
Defeat! Defeat!
That was some like.
Oh, man!
I have no idea who won that.
Yeah, we'll never know.
I'm never going to live that down.
I was on the Indian leg wrestling team.
He rolled me. He rolled me. That has never happened before.
Wow. What? You've never lost?
I've never lost Indian leg wrestling.
Did you lose because it looked like.
He rolled me over. No, he rolled me over.
Oh, okay.
And that's the victory.
And we had sex for one second.
Yeah.
It was
magical, though.
Like.
It was
and you
magical.
Were stout, Nick Lowe. You were stout.
It's amazing. No one ever knows what that is. That's
I know. Huh.
That's amazing.
For those of you
who don't know what that is.
All right.
We'll just take our pants off and do it one more time.
We'll put up a diagram. I was about to explain it, but I'm like, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, there we go.
So that's how Marvel now happens.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
that's how Marvel
works. Bendis' new book is all the different Avengers and X-Men are going to do.
All new Indian leg wrestling. That's going to work out really well. Let's talk about some of the specific titles. Let's start with Uncanny Avengers. So that's a mix-em-up title
to
call
Uncanny
it, right?
Avengers, it's the first book out of AVX, the first Marvel Now book. And it's cats and dogs working together. It's characters from the X side of the street
and
good characters from the Avengers side of the street all mixed up in a single book, being Avengers and doing heroic things together.
Now, this doesn't seem like the only place that necessarily things are being mixed up. This may be jumping a little bit, but released the covers for Avengers 1 and 2, and it looks like Cannonball is on the Avengers now. Is
Hell
that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. He'll whistle, but I'll say yes. Because he's mine now.
Yeah. That's great. I love the character. He's been missing for a long time.
Yeah.
Hasn't been
misused in the world of X.
He's been in books.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything cool. Everyone's like, oh, Cannonball. What did he
obviously,
do that was cool?
You don't read X-Men Legacy. He's been doing a lot of really cool.
I read all of them.
Baloney.
He had great
hair.
He's
been reading Legacy. He's done very little. Everyone's
he's done
like,
some cool business.
Cannonball always crashes.
No. Remember that last comic where it was like a pool party and then Cannonball jumped in and it was big wave?
Oh, no. You're thinking of a
See?
Cannonball.
Oh.
Yeah.
My bad.
Huh.
Yeah. Has he stolen characters from you at this point, Nick?
He thinks he has, but I've it's a trap.
Stolen
Don't
is
tell him.
Too strong a word.
A
I have
trap.
Rightfully
trap.
Repossessed.
It's a trap.
These characters from Nick.
When you start to mix up characters in the Avengers and X-Men, does it blurry the lines at all what those franchises are?
It can if we do it wrong, but hopefully we'll do it right. For the longest time, there's been sort of this invisible bubble around the X-books, or it's at least seemed like there was an invisible bubble when stuff was going on in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
The X-guys, they kind of nod towards it. They might do a limited series off to the side, but didn't really get involved, didn't mix a whole lot. Nice way to follow up on that Professor X dream of integration and working together by sitting by yourself
and
not going out with anybody else.
We don't like to mix with the riffraff, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Old sticky fingers Rivalry. Over here.
No. So is it going to be like the X-Men live in one place, the Avengers live in another place? They're like, oh, I got to go to work with the Avengers.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so they're going to live sort of and then go
They
to work.
Slum it with the Avengers.
Right.
Yeah. Do they have Wolverine's like a hamster carpooling. Tube that connects them?
What? Yeah, they're going to take a lot of subway, a lot of commute.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this carpool.
They're trying to build a tram. They're trying to get a tram from Westchester to Avengers Tower.
You know, transportation does exist between the two places.
What?
What?
I'm just throwing it out.
That's foolish talk.
All right, I'm sorry.
Not in this world.
Are you going to be getting any of the Avengers characters to be on the X-Men, or is that?
No. No, none of them. I don't want them, though. Who wants them? Who wants
they're
them?
They're the worst.
Nonsense. Malarkey.
Let's talk about all new X-Men then. So, Brian Bendis is coming
about
over.
The all new X-Men. Nick.
See, but the thing is, you got to remember, the X-Men don't need the help.
New.
He needs the good characters like we have over in the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at the X-Men, we've got all we need, and so we just kind of poached and we just took some of the talent from over there as well to just add to our stable, as it were.
Tell us about these all new X-Men of which you profess, Nick.
Indeed.
Who are these new all new characters?
I will tell you about it.
Bursting upon the scene.
Back in the day, Professor Xavier gathered five.
Yeah, I imagine you guys
not
are gonna,
well.
You guys are going to get in a car out front and just scream at
it's
each other.
Possible. It's possible. It's possible.
We hug it out, sir. We hug it out.
Good
All right,
gentlemen, your leg wrestle it out. Okay.
Anyway, so back in the day, Professor Xavier gathered five new characters, new like to being mutants. They're very new. He gathered this new team of mutants.
Yes.
And in this story, all new X-Men, as you've seen in some pages, if those of you who are huge comic nerds and go online and read news sites and stuff like that, Beast goes back in time and takes these all new X-Men
new.
Characters. Yeah. He's baiting me to try to talk about how the old characters are in a book called All New.
It's
I'm building my levee.
Could you maybe have called it All Old X-Men?
Yeah. We could have.
Those same old X-Men.
Yes. How about same old, O-L apostrophe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same old X-Men. But he gets these
just the way
new,
we like it.
These people who are all new at being X-Men brings them to the present to see what's become. And we don't know what's become because AVX hasn't ended yet.
Ooh. Right.
Lots.
So Beast does this to be like, look what you did.
Whoever he's talking to.
This is an elaborate prank, by the way.
All his friends are hanging out with the
Avengers.
Gotcha, everybody. Oh, no, I'm vanishing.
So what else is coming up? What else should people be looking for out of Marvel now? I understand, obviously, there's a lot of titles, but things you're most excited
about. You've only seen the tip of the iceberg so far.
Oh, boy.
But it is a gorgeous tip of the gorgeous iceberg.
It's a gorgeous iceberg.
So you've seen, we've announced...
As it's looming towards you through the smoke, threatening to crush you and bear down upon you, you will be dazzled by the radiance
our
of its gibber,
blah, blah, blah. We've announced Thor, which is Jason Aaron and Asad Ribic, that's coming out of Tom's office. Lauren Stankovich is the editor on. But it is so freaking cool. There is a God Butcher.
Ooh.
They've said that. That's out there.
Does he just like cut the pastrami for them?
Yeah, he sells it. He slices some.
Cuts
them up into Lloyds.
You haven't lived until you've had God ribs.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know?
Oh, so succulent.
And what else? What else
vegetarian
have we announced?
Well, we've got the Avengers coming out twice a month now with John Hickman and launching with Jerome Opeña. We just released those covers today. The first three covers.
Dustin Weaver covers.
Big new team. Dustin Weaver, who's going to be doing some work on the book.
Yep.
Justin Bieber.
Indeed. Yeah. But you see,
art's
like, you
terrible,
know,
the, but it's going to be very positive.
Everybody wants to be in the Avengers now, sir.
That's the creative team of S.H.I.E.L.D. Uh-huh. So, you know, Tom, again, out of ideas, goes ahead and just cherry picks
my
creative
teams.
Whatever
happened to the last issue of S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick?
It's being worked on. It's almost done. We're two pages out. We're two pages out of inks on S.H.I.E.L.D. Volume 2, Number 5. I'll tell you what happened, Tom. You started not letting Jonathan write scripts for frickin' S.H.I.E.L.D. For fucking S.H.I.E.L.D., I can swear.
Yeah.
For fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. to get and write your bullshit FF and Fantastic Four nonsense. Right, everybody? Am I right?
Everyone in the crowd is like, why are they fighting? Why are they fighting so much?
What's going on?
Why don't they love each other together? I'm very interested in fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. as a comic. Yeah. It's right up my alley.
Yeah.
What else have we announced? We've announced...
Captain America.
Captain America, there
Rick
you go.
Rick Remender and John Romita Jr.
Awesome.
Big, crazy, interdimensional interspace adventures with Cap and John.
Dear agent, but with an American flag on his face.
Yes.
Indeed. Iron Man,
Kieran
Gillen, Greg Land, awesome sauce.
Great.
Many new armors.
It's true.
One question that I've seen a lot with this relaunch, and I think you guys have even answered a couple of times, but I'm curious to hear directly from you. Beyond the big characters, of course, you're going to lead with that, and of course, you're going to lead with the big titles. Are we going to be seeing stuff off the beaten path, things that we wouldn't necessarily expect beyond a Captain America, a Thor, and X-Men?
First, like I said, all we've seen is the October, November. We've still got December, January, February,
even a little March.
Yeah.
Still to come. So
There are months after that.
There are a lot of things we haven't announced yet that is also huge and cool and crazy. But it's a mix of big characters, and there are some... There are definitely some diamonds in the rough, as it were, for all those Aladdin fans out there.
Right? A diamond in the rough.
That was really good, Alex.
Thank you. I just came back from Disney World. So.
What the fuck?
No, I did.
No, cool. That's what I said. I said it's really cool.
Real
great
cool.
Tie-in.
Tell us about the rides you went on.
Great. Do you guys want to talk about
Epcot
a little bit?
Thunder Mountain Railroad?
No, I had a 2.5-year-old. I couldn't go anywhere.
So you went to Epcot Center? How
took
you like Tomorrowland?
I took a bunch of pictures. What?
Yeah. She said, tell us more, Alex.
Cool. Let me talk about Epcot a little bit. When you guys are doing, what are we calling it, Hyper Drive? What was it? Hyper Smash?
Hyper Shake.
When you guys are doing a Hyper Shake like this, is there more coordination that goes on behind the scenes about this, or is it just kind of the same as we're releasing titles, we're working on the titles?
It's a little bit more than usual. I mean, part of it is simply because characters are moving around. Some of it, too, is that creators are moving around. So Nick needs guys to finish... you know, one set of comics while I need them to start the next thing that they're working on. So there's a certain amount of overlap and mm-hmm. back and forth all across the line.
Yeah. It's a lot of coordination. It is nothing like the crossover coordination, though. Like what Tom does on those crossovers, like
that's the worst.
It is insane. Yeah. It is insane. So this is it's tough, but it's not crossover tough. The hard part is we're doing it at the same time as the crossover.
Well, yeah, because we're smart like that.
Yeah, so smart.
Talking about crossovers, and it might be a little too early to talk about this, but with Avengers versus X-Men doing so well,
Avengers win. Oh, I spoiled it.
Oh, spoiler! There you go. Don't buy the books.
Read the last two.
Don't.
Anyway.
Yeah, with Avengers versus X-Men doing very well, you guys are going into Marvel now. Do you feel like this is fresh and new, and this is the event for a while, or are you guys planning for the next big event next summer?
I mean, there's always going to be big stories that we have coming up, whether they'll be, I mean, we throw the term event around very willy-nilly if you're talking about a big crossover.
Especially in the Low House. Wow. Event is thrown around a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Well, sometimes I come home to the wife and...
this is creepy. What?
Sometimes I come home.
Yeah.
Trying to think of how to go less.
That's even more mysterious.
Sometimes things are good.
So you guys are potentially planning on another big event at some point.
I'm sure at some point we'll be doing other big things. I mean, we've already talked about that, you know, in the offing, in the horizon, at some point is Age of Ultron, the thing that Brian and Brian Hitch have been working on for a long while. So at a certain point, that's going to drop and hit, and there'll be other stuff in the future. But the intention with these books really is to launch them, let these guys kind of tell their stories, find their footing, and set a direction for each of these titles as individual books. It's not really about going 3 months or 4 months and then, whoop, into another big crossover.
We wanted to make sure we carved out enough time for these to be meaningful. I mean, the closest thing I can compare this to is the early days when Joe Q was named editor-in-chief, and Tom was there. Axel had just come over at the time. And there
Nick was in junior high school.
Yep, I was.
Wow. Saving his lunch money.
Yep. Going to
run to the comic store.
Going to like middle school dances, boys on one side, girls on the other.
Kind of like when you come home.
Slam.
We'll let that, because of the request to hear less from the audience, we'll let that go. This is like, you know, trying to... This is boiling it down to tell the most basic, simple, beautiful stories that we can that aren't tied up in these giant universe-spanning events. Cool. Just tell, like, just get down to the bare bones of just story alone.
Awesome. How possible is something like that, given that you guys have read a lot of comic books, obviously the writers have read a lot of comic books? How hard or how easy is it to approach something with completely fresh eyes when you don't necessarily have those fresh eyes yourself?
Drugs.
Yeah. Cool.
Drugs.
Don't do them.
Say yes to drugs.
Yes.
It contradicts our earlier message.
Right. Hey, but this is a complex show.
You're goddamn right it is.
You know?
We just Indian leg wrestled.
Yeah, we didn't see that coming.
We got to play on the fly. It's like the newsroom.
Yeah.
Talk about Sorkin shows. It's like the newsroom. Yeah. Anything happening.
This is a little more like the Studio 60.
You think? Ooh. That's
Well, before tonight it was, and then you got us. And now it's like
two Will McAvoy.
I mean, we're not West Wing, but we're Newsroom.
Right. Yeah. We're Newsroom, maybe Sports Night, something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Maybe.
But
sorry.
It's...
Sorry, guys.
I mean, like...
Sorry for all that, but...
It's hard. Yeah. It is People hard to get Sorkin. Completely fresh eyes. But the cool thing about it, kind of like being a comic fan, the real trick of... our creators that do is even if your eyes, like if you don't go into it being fresh, they hit you with twists or ideas that make it fresh, like all at once, just boom. And then you get to that fresh moment. You know what I mean? You get to that fresh idea that comes out of nowhere and just in like, be like, wow, I was not expecting that at all. So.
It's interesting, on the other end of the spectrum, and you guys touched on this a little bit, one of the things I was happily surprised about was finding out that a lot of the teams have very long-range plans for the books, both from the writing and the art perspective. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, most of the teams have very long-ranging plans for the books, both on the writing and on the art perspective.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, we'll talk. Nailed I mean, it. We can talk about a few in particular.
Well,
I mean, yeah, these are guys, particularly on the writing side, that have a bit of a track record. Brian hasn't written anything in like three issues in a long, long while.
Hickman.
John's been on, has a huge game plan for any book he takes over. Even Rick. Rick's been on Uncanny X-Force for a good 30 issues at this point.
Yeah, we're sending issue 32 this week.
Nice. Matt on Iron Man and Thor were nice extended runs. So most of the guys that we're talking about here have a track record of sort of staying in place and putting the time in for the long haul on these characters.
Cool.
And even on the artist front, too. I mean, like, I think Jason and Esad on Thor the plan at least is to go straight just the two of them through issue 10 before having a fill-in. That's what we're trying to do with as many of the books, as we can.
Yeah, that's the plan with Captain America as well on John.
Exactly. And that's what, with most of the books, we're trying to do to cultivate the same kind of thing that we were talking about. Like when Joe and Axel and Tom and we're doing, 10, 11 years ago, reshuffling the books, so...
Yeah, and you were at that dance.
I was. It was a great dance. Yeah. Second base, y'all.
Do you guys want to
second base?
Nice, dude.
You guys should probably dance.
No, we don't have to dance.
No,
we should. You should probably go to get second base.
Maybe.
I don't know. Whatever you guys want to do. It's
we did. No one knew what Indian Letters.
Buy him another beer.
I hope that people know what dancing is here. Because if that's I forgot where I was.
Boothman,
can you put on some slow jam music?
God.
Oh, that's nice. Great.
All right, I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. All right. In the stack, we are going to talk about some books that we particularly like this week, starting with, I think this is Pete's pick.
That's right.
It is. Wolverine and the X-Men.
I like you, Pete. I like your style.
Nice.
I like your style,
so,
Pete.
So, Pete, you want to talk about this book a little bit?
Yeah, this is a fantastic book. This issue in particular is a very touching issue.
For sure.
It has amazing moments in it. Also, some great comedy moments. At times I was very sad, at times I was very happy, and then I was laughing. Total package, this issue.
Wow.
I'm glad you like it.
Of emotion.
And the art's amazing.
Thank you. Jorge Molina on pencils, Norman Lee on inks, and Maury Hallowell brings it on the colors.
Brings it.
Awesome.
It is brought in.
Can you talk a little bit about what went on with this issue, Nick?
Yeah. Well, this issue is one of our many AVX tie-ins of the various X books. And this one, Jason tried to bring it home a little bit on this issue in particular. There was a lot going on that was not as school-focused for the previous few issues of it, because we were kind of dealing with some more of the teachers and the events of AVX tying in. And so for this issue, he grounded this one back at the school, which, the heart and soul of Wolverine the X-Men. And really took a moment between AVX major events, took a breath, and that's where you get the nice, the brew moments and the ID stuff going on there. And then what else we got? Oh, Toad.
Yeah.
Toad and Husk.
Toad and Husk.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Who saw that coming?
I certainly didn't when he wrote it in there. It was awesome.
Yeah, has there been any setup for that?
And then
I don't recall seeing them.
A little. There was in the previous issue, there was some.
Yep. Didn't he steal her skin for his room?
Yep. The previous issue, he stole it and basically had a tea party with her her shell of a skin.
Classic robots.
Yeah. Yep. Just like most of our, pre-date. Yeah. Kind of thing.
That was first seen in Pride and Prejudice, if I remember correctly.
I believe you're right. I believe you're right.
Speaking of romance, the Iceman Kitty Pride, it's like she was very much in love with Colossus, and now she's like, Bobby, live so we can have sex when you get back.
Hey,
like,
now.
Whoa.
Hey, now.
Well, that's sort of...
First of all, dial it back. She says so we can go on a date. She needs to feel normal, y'all. She needs to feel normal. It's the budding of like, possibly a new relationship, at least something new for her.
Pretty fast.
Pretty.
Had to get it done before they all got killed at the end of AVX. Oh, I spoiled it.
Hey, man.
Classic.
It cracked me up, and I didn't know what it meant when I read it at the time. But I think in Authority, Mark Miller talked about it when he took over, how they partied hard after their adventures. Like, it's like airline. I think he referenced not like military people or whatever, he referenced like stewardesses and stewards. Like, yeah, they party hard. Because I'm like, what is
it's like Pan Am?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway,
they get it going on.
When your life is that it's intense, great. A little personal life reference. Why don't we go there? Why don't we go there?
Yeah, do it.
Yep. I remember I was studying abroad.
Here we go.
In Italy. And just as.
Your name,
man. Whoa!
He'll get there. He'll get
and
there.
Just as semester ended, everything was leaving. Like, you know, it was a kind of tumultuous time. Like, you make connections with people when you're going through, like, big, crazy emotions. It's like Dr. Zhivago. We've all read Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was
the
our
movie.
Last book club.
Zhivago heads getting nuts. Anybody? Oh, okay.
Anyway. The most boring part of this podcast.
Get back to your story about you hooked up with an Italian girl.
Pretty much.
Like, all right, we get it, Nick. You get around.
One of the moments I would like to bring up in this book real quick is Kid Gladiator has been pretty much a douchebag throughout the whole series.
Yeah.
And this moment you've seen, well, you know, he's, you know.
He's cocky.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, really amazing kind of powerful moment with Kid Gladiator.
It was great.
It is.
See,
the moment of humanity, moment like where you're like, where he's, you know, when you're a kid.
Technically a moment of sheority.
There you go. We're all humans, really. He is a Strontian. Jordan is right. That's Jordan D. White.
Jordan D. White, our fact checker heckler from the crowd.
But, you know, those when you're a kid, you pretend to be a lot of things, even if you're not always that. And you get to, you know, get a peek behind the curtain, a Kid Gladiator. It's a beautiful moment.
Yeah. Another thing that I really liked about this issue a lot, and, you know, again, things might change after AVX, but I like the fact that we're finally getting all of the kids in the same school at the same time.
Mm.
Because it kind of felt like for a while there were maybe 5 to 8 students at the entire school or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll definitely see more of them around. But Jason, and this is something Jason and I talk a lot about, is we do want to keep the focus pretty tight. Mm-hmm. So even though you're getting to see some more of the students who are on the West Coast come in, you may not be spending a lot of time with a lot of them. Like, you know, I would love to spend some more time with Serge, but we got some business going on with our other kids, and, you know, we don't want to. Exactly.
I love Alex. You're worried about like roll call. You're like, what are all the?
Yeah.
Are they
how is
education?
The school going to support itself if it doesn't have any students?
Because if they don't get a full.
Can
education.
You do a couple of issues about the financials of the Jean Grey?
We've done that. Really
we've
there
done
were
enough,
a couple of issues about
they
that.
They were the best. Issues.
They were pretty amazing.
They were
funny. Great.
They were pretty amazing.
No, they weren't.
All right, let's move on.
I love the way
on.
You slipped that in right at the end.
Let's move on with our next pick. This was my pick, I guess, actually. Lock and Key,
pick.
Grindhouse, number one. Bye, Nick. Oh, he'll be right back.
He's got to go be treated after I destroyed
Lock and Key.
Him in Indian leg wrestling.
Lock and Key, Grindhouse, number one. We love this series.
Yes, we
show.
Do.
It's fantastic. Great comic book. This is a one-shot, flashing back to, is it the 20s or the 40s?
I believe the 20s.
The 20s.
I'm going to say the
showing
40s.
An earlier adventure in Key House when some home invaders.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Ne'er-do-wells, if you will. Gangsters really try to take over the house, and they try to take over the wrong house because they have magical keys. And everybody gets their just desserts. A great, fun, gritty story. Gabriel Rodriguez, his art in this, it's completely different. It looks like an old EC comic or something like that.
And the way the type is, for the lettering, they use all type. And
they do
great.
Such an amazing job with this book of, even though we've read every issue, at this point...
A new one comes out.
Yeah, but they do it so fresh and so different, it's so surprising.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a book with an artist and a writer can fall into a certain rhythm. They really go out of their way to keep it fresh and do an amazing job with this book.
Yeah, the other thing that I really love about this, the second half is all maps of Key House, which one of my favorite things growing up was actually in Marvel Comics looking at, like, the side
building.
Section of the Baxter Building. I love that. You knew exactly what it was.
That was cool.
They do kind of the same thing here, and I just think it's great. Even if you don't regularly read Lock and Key, which you should be doing, you can definitely pick up
this
issue. This
book won't be in the trades, the collections.
Right.
So definitely pick it up on the stands if you love it.
Yeah, yeah, it was really amazing.
Wait, it was very good.
All right, let's move on with Justin's pick, which was FF number 21.
Yeah.
Nick couldn't even stomach that. He took off.
Yeah, I know. He knew it was coming.
He knew it was coming.
If you're listening at home, Nick is throwing up in a quarter somewhere. Yeah. So, Tom, actually, Justin, you want to talk about this book a little bit first?
Let me just say, we didn't pick this just because you were coming on the show. I've loved this book in particular. And
you seem like a man of taste, despite your Indian wrestling.
I don't know if I would say that, but all right.
Okay, good. As long as we're all on board with that. This is great dealing with...
It's the well water talking.
Yeah. It influences so much in my life. It was actually a beer. So this, we're dealing with some fallout of all of the big events that have been going on in the book. The name of this issue is Ronance, a play on romance. So it's a breakup. Reed Richards forces a breakup. It's really sad.
Not by himself. He had some help.
He had some help. Black
people
Bolt.
Worked out with
him. The entire Kree Empire.
Empire breakup, classic. Nick Dragotta's art, though, is so, so good. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really was moving getting this issue done. Like, he had some other stuff going on in his life and so forth. And this issue in particular, he blasted through at a rocket's speed, which actually kind of made it, in essence, like a little bouncier. Like, he wasn't having a lot of time to double or triple think what he was doing. Well, he was just kind of doing it.
The panels are, I guess they're a little sparse, but the faces are so good. They're so simple.
There's a lot of not talking, so it's...
Sometimes you don't have to talk, you know?
I wish you would communicate. Follow by
that. No, I said sometimes you don't have to talk.
No, I meant... Anyways, this was very powerful issue, but I also, because the lack of talking, I was... A little lost, a little back and forth. But by the end of it, I was like, oh, I see what's going on.
They put it all together in 20 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you talk
a little bit? The mystery revealed itself. The puzzle was unfurled.
Usually you get like very... Like the last panel, you're like, oh my God, but it was like a sad last. And it was like,
oh. It was more intimidating.
Poor Crystal, huh?
Yeah.
She cannot get a break with men.
Yeah. Oh.
No, well, it's true. She.
No, I know.
Quicksilver, Human Torch.
Don't make her relive it.
You know? That insurance salesman that she had. Who was that? Was it an insurance salesman she had an affair with? Tom?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Vision and Scarlet Witch limited series.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
When you run a Crystal fan site.
Yeah.
When you run an insurance salesman fan site. I have all my fanfic is about the insurance salesman from
Marvel
that
Universe.
Series. Jonathan Hickman pretty famously had a gigantic overarching plan for the Fantastic Four series. Where are we in that? Are we past it at this point?
No, you're still pretty much in it.
Yeah.
He's got two issues of each book left at this point. So we're right down to the wrap-up and the finale. And some of the individual stories juggled around a little bit as we went. But we're still in the midst of all the stuff that he laid out at the outset.
Yeah,
that's amazing. He writes everything so dense, and the characters are so consistent, and like their motivations are so clear, and there's so much.
Well, he definitely rewards repeated reading. That certainly when he started on FF, people like kind of liked elements of it, but they didn't entirely understand what the heck he was getting at or what he was building, what the shape of it was. And as more and more issues came out, and people were starting to be able to see it, they could then kind of go back and read what was here's a little. Two-line exchange in issue 3 or issue 4 that's got such powerful resonance now because you understand what it means and how it's being paid off issues later. The whole thing is just one enormous story.
The other thing that I really like about it, and we've talked about this a bit on the show, is FF has such a different feel from Fantastic Four that it's, you use the word bouncy, but it feels like that a lot across the board. It's a little more fun, it's a little jokier, and it has a little bit more heart to it than kind of the brains of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Is that something that you guys talk about with the books?
I don't know if we talked about that specifically, but we certainly talked about the notion that having the two titles, we wanted them to be different and not just be the same book coming out 2 weeks apart. If they were going to be different titles, if they were going to have slightly different focuses and slightly different viewpoints, then they had to be different. They had to feel different. They had to read different. Still all part of the same big tapestry, this enormous novel that Jonathan was writing with the characters. But stuff that's of a certain bent ends up in this book versus that book, because it kind of just fits the tenor of the book.
No, definitely. And I actually prefer this book. I love this issue in particular, the Peter Parker and female Yondu.
Rewarding that crazy party so he had with Johnny Storm. And that's so the dorky thing, because if somebody is just picking up this book, you're really rewarding the person who's been there since the beginning, which can kind of be tough because you can lose some people. But
as long as you stay to page 20, you figure it all out. It all comes together. You got to stick with it. You can't give up like page 9. Don't be a quitter, man.
You're saying read the whole book.
I'm saying read the whole book. Cover to cover.
I just read page 9.
Read the fan page. The next
it's
issue page
best.
Is great.
Yeah. It's always the best.
Yeah. There's always a terrific ad on the inside back cover.
That's usually my note.
Ads. Ads.
But that's usually my note to write. Page 9 just isn't quite great enough. Guys, got to make it stronger.
That's the peak. That's almost the middle of the comic book.
That's why the X-Men books are better than the Avengers books.
Very briefly, I want to talk about the Marvel Now Fantastic Four and FF, because I cannot wait for those books. They sound awesome. Could you give the rundown of what's going on with both of them?
Well, both books in the new Marvel Now creative shuffle will be written by Matt Fraction.
Oh, boy.
Mark Bagley will be illustrating Fantastic Four. Mike Allred, who people remember from Ecstatics and iZombie and so forth, will be illustrating FF. The Fantastic Four will be going off on a one-year sort of interdimensional learning journey and appointing four stand-ins who were only supposed to be replacement FF guys for 4 minutes to be the Fantastic Four in case something goes horribly wrong in their absence, which has been known to happen. Yeah. And it turns out that it takes a few more than 4 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah, and one of the team members on FF is Miss Thing.
Miss Thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Miss Thing, soon to be everybody's favorite character in comics.
This is one of Johnny Storm's supermodel girlfriends who gets stuck in a Thing suit.
She doesn't get stuck in a Thing suit. It's basically Reed tells the family, okay, we're going to go off. We're going to do this trip. We all need to come up with people to serve in our stead. So everybody go off, get your guy, come back. We'll meet back here at such and such a day and such and such a time.
All good leaders, he just arbitrarily decides that.
And Johnny kind of botches it. Johnny kind of forgets.
Oh, Johnny Storm.
The guy who doesn't plan.
So he ends up bringing in the girl he dated last night. And she's
what a nice way of saying that. He dated her just last night.
Yeah.
He just dated her for one night.
It was a wonderful date, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was very good. Bound to be a lifelong romance.
All right, and that's it for the stack. Okay, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Tonight Only Barman. Barman, you like being called Barman or Boothman?
You can just call me Man.
Ooh. Oh,
let's turn it over to Man.
Hey, Man, give me some questions, Man.
You got it, Man.
These are prepared questions, previously prepared questions, that have been assembled from...
When you say it like that, it makes it sound like they're not.
I'm just staring. You have a little pad in your hand, you can't wait. Here are the top secret questions that have been...
They're top secret, so secret, I'm going to tell them right now.
All right.
Okay, first question. For Marvel Now... Are you pairing talent with new/different editors as well to shake things up?
Ooh. Yeah. Most of the books are staying with the same editors, so mostly yes. Brian Bendis and I have worked together before, but it hasn't been for years. I worked with him on Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, and Ultimate FF.
Unfortunately, he's forgotten that by now.
Slam.
That might be what he tells you, Tom. He told me he's never forgotten it.
Then I'd be worried, Nick.
Yep.
I'd be worried.
But a lot of these guys, Tom has been at Marvel for a very, very, very long time. So there's very few people who he hasn't worked with, much to their
chagrin.
You're
trying to make that sound like a bad thing, and it's just not coming off.
For those of you listening to the podcast,
closing the deal.
Tom is just a skeleton with a hat on top.
That's pretty true.
Yeah.
But we've worked with some of them before, most of them before. But yeah. but it is kind of like we're not traveling with the writers to the different books.
Yeah, I've worked with Rick Remender a little bit on Secret Avengers. He's written that for about 6 months now. So I've got some experience with him writing Uncanny Avengers or Captain America, but not a whole lot. I did Fear Itself with Matt Fraction, so I did a big crossover, and that's pretty intensive. But I've not had a monthly book that Matt has written before. I've had books that Jonathan's written, and I'll have more. So it's a little bit across the spectrum.
Nice.
Cool. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And let's get the next question.
All right, next question. OMG. You were just appointed head of DC Comics. Do you restore classic continuity or stay the new 52 course?
Ha! Good question. Ooh.
Classic continuity.
Really? For you guys, it's probably whatever would do the most damage, right?
Yeah.
Nah, if I was the head of... Go ahead, Nick.
No, you started.
Oh. No, you
started talking.
Some of you guys are all nice to each
other. You stepped into the pool.
Fine, it's fine. I'll take it. It's fine. I'll go.
Insufferable.
Now, given the head of DC Comics tomorrow, first off, I got to do what's right for DC because that's my gig now. That's my home. As much as I might want to turn everything back,
which is what you should do,
you know, as long as it's working, you know, it wasn't that long ago that DC's sales and pedigree was not that good. And right now, there's a lot more interest behind those books and a lot more sales behind them as well. I'd probably have to stay the course. As much as I like the older DC Universe and, you know, am familiar with it more than the new stuff they're doing.
See, and I'm going to go ahead and do the opposite. I'm going to go ahead and make it all like Muppet babies, kind of. Like, they're all babies, and then you have just adult legs from, like, the knees down walking around. That's the Nick Lowe DC Universe.
You would not have that job long.
Says you.
Wait, so the heroes are all babies, but the regular people are all legs?
Yeah. Yep.
What?
I don't understand this. So
all the heroes,
babies on
Nick,
the top,
babies.
Adults on the bottom.
Nick, put the beer down. Nick.
They don't have baby upper bodies and adult lower bodies.
We're gonna put this back now.
All the heroes are full body babies. They're full body.
Full body babies. Okay.
That's a TV show I'm pitching.
That's the way
Guys,
I describe all
please
babies.
Please stop this. This is horrible. I don't
back
like this.
Away, Nick.
Full body babies.
No pull more. Back.
Stop and then saying those words. Stop saying full body baby.
That is a full body baby.
Ooh, that's a full bodied baby.
Look at those that legs on that baby. Yeah.
What the hell has happened?
You just see them from the knees down.
Let's.
Non-heroes. Like puppet babies.
Yes. Like I said.
I missed the Muppet Babies part.
I mean, we should be totally honest. When Alex came to us and he said his wife was pregnant, he said, I'm going to be having a full-body baby.
With adult legs.
Well, that was your dream.
But that makes it not a full-body baby if they have adult legs.
Stop it!
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that question about full-body babies. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
So gross. That question was so simple. Okay, next question. It seems that the X-Men, Avengers, and all Marvel heroes are fighting each other a lot lately. What's up with that, guys?
We don't like each other very much.
Yeah.
When you work with people for a number of years, you fight.
Yeah, people say that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I know we're doing Avengers versus X-Men right now. We did Civil War. That was like 6 years ago.
Yeah, a long
seems
time
like
ago.
Just yesterday.
That was a long. You guys, if that seems like just yesterday to you, like me, you're getting fucking old. You're getting really fucking old.
Secret Invasion had a lot of elements of that where people were.
But
mad
most of them were Skrulls.
Right, but there was a lot of subterfuge about that, and he didn't know.
Fighting aliens.
Before Civil War, there wasn't a lot of that.
But that was like 6 years ago.
Well, that's why I believe
like,
the question
on.
Is saying. Since
even
Civil
Secret
War.
Invasion was a while ago now, man.
Yeah, but in our minds, we all reread our comics on an almost daily basis.
Okay.
So it keeps happening again.
Okay. See, I argue with the premise.
It just means that after Civil War, everything pales next to Civil War. And since Civil War, nothing.
The way Mark Millar wants it.
Exactly the way Mark intended, Mark and Steve.
What? Young Avengers.
In one maxi series. But if we could take all the books that heroes are fighting heroes and put them next to all the books where heroes are fighting villains, it would be a tiny little stack versus a giant motherfucking stack.
Well, you know, I have a hard time.
That'd be like a full-bodied baby stack.
Yes. See, that sounds like a long, like a big stack. I have a hard time labeling someone as a hero or a villain because everyone's complex, Nick.
Feet of clay.
Yeah.
And brain
well,
and
I mean, it's nice. I feel like after for a while, there are going to have to be some villains, though, right?
Right.
No villains. No villains.
No villains.
And how come the villains aren't fighting villains?
Yeah.
Are they just like, what are they doing? Are they on vacation?
They are, but it's just like chess matches. It's really boring. So we don't show those.
Wait, the villains who are just like, oh, I forgot about all these heroes when I was committing this crime.
When I was committing chess?
Yeah, there are a lot of mad rap battles going on.
Yeah. I would That's even better than the chess. I would read that, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
MC
I'd read that.
Well, because I've been pitching a series, Villains Hanging Out, to sort of be as a sister book to AVX. But I haven't heard much about
Avengers versus X-Men, villains plus villains friends with villains.
Yeah, villains buddies with villains. Yeah.
Villains love villains.
Yeah. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right, next question. Would you ever hire Rob Liefeld?
Wait, that guy says he asked that question. Who asked that question?
Whoa, she just wanted
free comics.
No, I love the way you did that.
That was amazing.
You were yeah, I'll take that.
Did you ask a question?
Oh, okay. I like your style, lady. Yeah.
You know what? Do we have
I like your style.
She was doing the wave.
You guys, you want to know something else? She was fucking with my mic before. That's too.
It's a book.
Huh? Get out.
Okay.
So a woman in a bar. Give her the comics.
Huh? Stick around.
We'll give next question. Didn't I just ask the question?
No, I didn't hear
it. That's fine.
Oh, were you talking about full baby bodies or something?
It's that's not what the word is.
First question. Yeah. Here, we're going to give you a comic. Next couple. There you go.
For trying this.
For being sneaky.
Yeah.
All right. Next couple of questions.
I like to go on record to not encourage people to take other people's comics.
We reward heroes and villains.
Hey, it's fair game. Everything's fair game. Next couple of questions. Lightning round. Let's get it. First answer is correct.
Would you ever hire Rob Liefeld?
Oh.
Me personally, absolutely.
Yeah.
To sell shoes.
He would be terrible.
Shoes.
He'd be terrible.
How would he know what the feet look like?
Wow. Be the worst.
Jeez, real setup. A real solid setup.
We've been working on that for days.
Yeah.
For days.
I set him up.
Would you guys
know?
I mean,
let's see. There would have to be some apologies made. There would have to be.
And I'm just not going to do it.
That's an answer right
it's
there.
It's speed run. You just say no and we move on.
Yeah. No, but this. Shut up.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Yeah. I am curious, actually. This is something I think we were talking about last week because of all the Twitter fights and things that were going on. What do you guys think about Twitter and talking about the stuff on Twitter? What do you think the role is in the comic book industry?
I like Twitter as a tool, as a forum. I like anything that kind of lets people connect with other people that like the stuff that they like and are into the things that they're into. I think like any place else, there's good behavior, there's bad behavior, there's people that use it right, there's people that go over the line. Anything that you wouldn't say if you were sitting here with us is probably the wrong thing.
You just wanted to edit the shit out of that Twitter feed, I bet.
Yeah, it just when people burn bridges or shit where they eat, it just seems to be a mistake. It's just very sad. It's really just like it's very sad to me.
Disgusting.
Yeah,
Well, no, when you shit where you eat, it's disgusting.
Yeah, you're right.
It's also disgusting.
Pete has a problem with that actual act.
I mean, people behaving in ways that human beings should behave is always very sad.
All right, let's get the next question.
I have more than 140 characters.
Yeah.
All right, next question. What upcoming story would you most like to spoil, even though you cannot?
Oh, good.
Ooh. That is a good one.
Real backdoor into a spoiler.
I'm going to go. I don't mind. And I know I am editing, so this just sounds like a plug. But Wolverine the X-Men, there are two things coming up in particular that I would love to spoil because they're big and juicy and awesome. They're juicy. They're as juicy as a full-body baby. but I can't. Yeah. But that book is sticking around. Like, you know, that's one thing I want to make clear as well. And then all the Marvel Now, all the books that are getting shaken up, Wolverine and the X-Men will continue its march of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Into the future.
Unshaken but stirred.
Okay.
Cool. Tom, what about you?
I think if I was going to spoil, if I wanted to spoil a book, if there was a book that I wanted to spoil, it would be Amazing Spider-Man 700. And the reason is, right now, somewhere out in the world, Dan Slott just heard me say that and is flipping out because he thinks I'm about to do it.
Good answer.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Oh, do we have another one? Two more. Let's do it. Right.
Wow.
Do you think creating new physical copies of comic books will die out?
Oh.
You mean going all digital? You know, not in my lifetime. In somebody's lifetime, probably. Not in my lifetime. You know, the number of people that are reading them tangibly versus are reading them digitally will probably change. The digital ratio is inevitable that it's going to go up. But that doesn't mean there won't be physical copies of some sort, whether they're of individual issues, whether they're of collections, you know, whatever form that happens to take, and that'll be whatever the market dictates. But I don't think in my lifetime you're going to see the end of physical copies.
Unless the robots take over.
Yeah. when I burn all the trees down.
Yeah, fuck those trees.
Fuck the trees.
Wow.
So, evil Lorax over here. Yeah.
Jesus. Let's get the last question.
Can you do a live reading of the leaked Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles script?
Wow. Pete is a huge fan of Bay's script. Interpretation of
right.
the turtles.
Pete, you were basically like aliens, over and over and over again.
Oh man, no, this is it's a sensitive subject, so it's painful, and hopefully, the right thing will happen.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah,
I might be up for it.
Yeah, probably not.
If
this
the timing's
week.
Right, the venue's right. Yeah,
yeah. Hey, hang out right after this, guys. We're going to do a reading of the script. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Barman. All right. Very quickly, we're going to move through our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Hooray. For the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing we're going to talk about, we just missed this last week. This happened right after our show, but it was announced that Joss Whedon is directing and writing a television series for Marvel. We knew that was happening, but it turns out it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing it with a couple of his regular collaborators, his brother, I think, and Marissa.
And sister-in-law.
And sister-in-law, who worked on Dollhouse as well. Great people. They've actually written a bunch of comics for Dark Horse as well. What are you guys looking forward to with the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show?
I am so stoked. I just saw Avengers again yesterday.
Yeah, nice.
I they reopened
it. Is it still the same?
It is. There was no changes. I hadn't seen the post-credit scene before. At our Marvel screening, they didn't have it.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't filmed yet because they didn't have the premiere. They filmed it after the premiere. And Tom was even just telling me that something else I didn't know. The reason why Chris Evans is covering up, sleeping is because he had a beard for the next movie he was filming, and they had to cover it up.
Yeah,
he was wearing a fake face.
And
seriously.
But I just saw it in 2D, and it was awesome. It made me so stoked for a Joss Whedon helmed S.H.I.E.L.D. series.
Yeah. Tom, what about you?
Yeah, what he said.
Cool.
And I will welcome Colby Smulders dressing in what she dressed in that movie, being as badass as she was in that movie on a regular basis. Yeah. I hope she's in it.
What are you guys looking forward to with a S.H.I.E.L.D. series?
Can't wait for it. It's Joss Whedon TV. Tough times in the past.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I think he'll be focusing on movies and not spreading himself so thin.
Really?
I'm not.
Yep.
I got to say, I mean, I loved Avengers. Avengers, great movie. I was very excited to see Joss Whedon on Avengers. The idea of Joss back on a TV show and it being S.H.I.E.L.D. made me, flip out a little bit.
What happened when you flipped out?
I flipped out, looked at my baby. I was like, what are you doing with adult legs? It was real weird.
Now, did your baby have adult legs, or was that part
of
it?
No, I was hallucinating. I was hallucinating.
Oh, okay.
I think it's going to be
good. Do drugs or don't do drugs? I couldn't tell what the moral of that story was.
Do drugs sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
With your baby.
Yeah, our message is do drugs sometimes, and don't do drugs sometimes.
Just read between the lines, you guys. Let's move on with the next piece of info we have for you. Haley Atwell may be coming back for Captain America 2, or maybe not.
Oh.
She won't say either way. Do you guys want to see her back in the sequel? And if so, do you want to see her reprising a role, or do you want to see her as a young Peggy Carter?
Oh.
Ooh. A little twist at the end there.
Yeah. Twist. What do you think, Pete?
I don't know. I enjoy Captain America, so I'm for her coming back. But then that new information you just had in there, kind of exciting.
Oh, so excited times excited.
Yep.
Oh, I'm excited, but also I'm excited.
Yeah. Also, but also more excited.
Yeah.
To contrast.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends what the movie is about.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go on a limb and say Captain America.
It's Captain. Like where it's happening. Where is he? What's he doing?
Oh, he's shooting people.
It's called Winter Soldier, y'all.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens?
I've read comic books.
Would be very excited at the prospect. I actually got to meet her. Whenever Marvel can't get someone to host something, they have me go do it. And so I actually got to meet and interview her and talk to her for like half an hour. She was super cool. A lot of fun. I would love to see her in another Marvel movie.
All right.
Awesome.
There we go. Okay, last thing. This is something we were talking about a little bit last week. Justin, you're not into Doctor Who at all, right?
Nope.
Totally not into Doctor Who. Don't watch Doctor Who.
That's the way I say it. I say Doctor Who?
Good. That's actually a joke on the show. Anyway, so I don't know if this will get you interested in it, but Neil Gaiman over the weekend won a Hugo Award his episode of Doctor Who, and he's coming back to write another one.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty exciting. Would that get you into the show, do you think?
I mean, it's not that I like
Can I put you in a new Doctor Who today?
It's not like
What's
you don't have to
take
sell
to get
it?
You in this Doctor Who?
You don't have to sell me on it. It's just like, I don't know, I haven't really watched it. So to be like... Watch what?
Watch Blink. Yes, he's right. Tom, what do you think? I know you're a pretty big Doctor Who fan. You excited about Neil Gaiman coming back?
I think it's great. I think Neil should do as many... Neil should pretty much write whatever he wants to write just in general. And I'm happy, but him and doing more
I disagree.
Doctor Who is good.
Neil should write whatever the fuck I want him to write. And I approve of him writing more Doctor Who. I liked his episode a lot.
Yep.
Let's do some more.
He posted something on his blog about this, that it's a real struggle for him writing the episodes. He said that it's like he's pulling his hair out the whole time. It's stressful. So I found that interesting.
He's a busy dude. I mean, he had to choose that over beekeeping, I presume. So
he should recently he's been working on What Did We Do? He did,
he's
he
a friend
a tattoo.
Of mine. He's awesome.
Yeah, he writes
a
t-shirt.
He writes a lot of tattoos.
Yep.
He did, actually. He wrote a guy's tattoo.
No, I know.
Yeah. Yep. He's a cool dude.
It's all on
that
the
guy...
Internet.
So I worked with him on a couple books at Marvel, so we got to hang out with him a couple times. One of the times he came into town, we went to the bank, and he got...
He robbed it.
No, he did. He's a badass.
Fucking bank.
No, he took out... and we had to go to my bank because
he
didn't
have...
He just
came in and said, hello, I'm Neil Gaiman, and they gave him all the money.
But
they carted it right out. Here, it's yours.
He got a bunch of $2 bills out of the bank because he's like, you know, like when you tip people, they really get a charge on it when you give them a $2 bill instead of like a couple
what a
ones.
Dork. Such a dorky thing.
It's an adorable, charming
adorable
thing. It's pretty
charming.
Adorable.
I mean, I really like it.
Whereas Garth Ennis goes to the bank and gets a box of bullets and like hands them to people.
Rolls of quarters.
That's a tip.
One for each fist.
All right, that's it for the week of Geek.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPaglia.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part where we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. You, Spider-Man shirt guy, come on up.
Yeah.
All right, Spidey shirt.
Here you go.
All right. What is your name, sir?
Mike.
Mike, audience Mike.
Hello.
Hi. Mike.
All right, well, here is the gift card that you may or may not win.
May.
So how this works is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers.
Okay.
Get all three questions right, you win $25. All right, today's trivia is on Marvel Now.
Okay.
Well, I haven't read Marvel Now yet.
Well, it's good.
Oh,
good.
Well,
it hasn't come out yet.
Then, my friend, you're in big trouble.
If you were paying attention at all, you will get all of these right.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, here we go. Question number one.
All right.
When is Marvel Now going to happen? Is it A, now, B, soon, or C, October?
It can only be one?
It can only be one. Go with C. I would pick C.
I'm between C and... Okay.
Just C?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. There you go. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. I wrote these.
Okay.
What isn't going to be new in Marvel Now? Is it A, the covers, B, the new identities, or C, Namor's ego?
All new X-Men. All new X-Men.
Again, go with C. Yep, C, yes.
Yeah.
Namor's ego is staying the same.
Cool.
Okay, the last question. Here we go. Focus up. A lot of the people are excited about Bendis' all-new blank.
C.
Is it A, X-Men?
C.
Yeah. B, Avengers? Or C, his brand-new English accent?
Badonkadonk.
Yeah.
Badonkadonk. That was actually funnier. All right. Is it A, his all-new X-Men? Or it's not the other ones?
It's not C, though. It's...
It's not.
Okay, yeah, A.
A is correct.
Nice.
All new X-Men. Check it out. Congratulations, sir.
Well done.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Really well done.
Now, actually, I don't want to ruin your answer, but in Marvel Now, Namor is actually going to be Namor the Humble Submariner.
Oh, yeah. I doubt
Sorry.
That. I really doubt
so
that.
So humble.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Even with the holiday, it's New Comic Book Day.
That's
we recommend
exciting.
You go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Deadpool number 60. I got a little sneak peek of it, first page, leading the second page. Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious joke. I love that book.
Yeah, we won't spoil it for you.
Yeah, and there's only, what is it,
three more issues
with Daniel
Way? 63 is his last one.
Gotta
Daniel
catch
Way
them all.
Did an amazing job. I'm sad to see him go.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Justin, what about you?
Let me just first say, you really nailed that Pokemon reference.
Thank you so much for pointing it out.
I'm looking Very forward to topical. Reminding you of that next week. But I'm also looking forward to, there's a Starman Omnibus coming out tomorrow, which
please.
Is very
oh,
good
boy.
If you guys haven't read it. Definitely do that. My favorite series pretty much ever. And I'm also looking forward to Hawkeye number 2. Man, that first issue was great. Let's read some more.
I'm looking forward to Near Death number 11 from Image Comics. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show
you
before.
No, it's been your little secret.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, my gritty little secret I kept away from you guys. This is a great series. Unfortunately, this is actually the last issue of it, I just found out. But
Maybe
if you want to go back, pick up the series.
Yeah,
when
did you say anything about it?
I didn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah.
I was the only one who read it, so it kind of felt like me and the writer were kind of hanging out.
Yeah, you guys had a
Anyway, it's about a guy that almost dies. He's a criminal, has this near-death experience, comes back, and he's like, you know what? I got to balance the scales. I got to save people. I'm not going to kill people anymore. And every single issue was like its own standalone episode of like a gritty 70s or 80s syndicated show. Really, really fun. The last couple of issues have been the only overarching storyline of the series where he meets his exact opposite, a cop who's decided to go bad. And it's been very, very cool. If you haven't looked into the series Near Death, definitely pick it up.
A gritty series like Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Yeah.
Or like the Rockford Files.
Yep, or wow. Kojak.
Or like Heart to Heart.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Keep going.
Something
Blue
like
lighting.
That.
Keep going, what else?
What's that? I don't know how much
Chips.
Further I could keep going.
Where are you going to...
Chips? That was not...
Yeah,
no
like
one
a,
took that
It's
seriously.
Like a grittier version of Chips. Thanks, Pete. Thank you so much. Nick, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Amazing Spider-Man 16-ounce plastic travel mug.
Is that in continuity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
well,
believe
they followed
so.
Up with the 15-ounce mug with a great
true.
Extra ounce.
No, but I will pick Thief of Thieves number 8, which I believe is the second James Asmus issue there.
I think it's the first one.
First one.
Yeah,
there you go. First one. I'm very excited about them. He's a friend of mine and a writer who works with me. But he's a terrific writer, and I'm excited to see him tell a crime story.
Yeah, Gambit 2 came out this past week, and it was very
Indeed.
Good.
Yeah, lots
Indeed.
Of
Agreed.
And plug some of your stuff. What should people check out, Nick?
Oh, I didn't even see. I didn't even look at them. I was like,
just in general.
Well, just in general.
Wolverine the X-Men is the shit.
Yeah,
it is. I can't say that enough. That is a very, very special book. Other than that, I mean,
second base.
Yes, Uncanny X-Force. Their final execution is going on right now.
Ooh.
There is some business coming down. There's business. It's coming down. Look out for that business.
And, of course, look for full-bodied babies.
Full-bodied babies all over the place. Sorry, man.
Tom, what about you? What should people, what are you looking
forward to? All right, there's no AVX this week. Still waiting for AVX 11, bated breath, so I got four picks really quick.
Four?
Oh, four.
Is it just right. one
Go
pick?
Hey, I looked.
Hey.
I looked. I got
four. I just
four.
Did a travel mug as a joke.
A joke, he says.
I love travel mugs.
He does.
He makes a nickel on each one.
All right,
Dirty
four,
secret.
Four things coming out tomorrow. DC starts rolling out their Zero issues, and I'm sure that Grant's Action Comics number Zero will be an interesting story.
Yeah.
Grant always does something interesting with the form, so that's really nice. Also from the DC side of the fence, the third of the Geoff Johns Flash Omnibi are coming out. Omnibuses.
Yeah.
Omniboo.
Omniboo.
Collecting
the Omniboo.
Omniboo. Omnibut.
Collecting the end of Jeff's run on Flash, maybe the last time that that book was worth anything.
Whoa! Oh.
Oh, how easy. Dare you, please. Sir?
Yeah.
And I speak from the heart. Also collected tomorrow the first volume of John Hickman's Manhattan Projects out of Image.
Very good.
Very
good
nice.
Book.
Great series. Very fun. Very offbeat. And then I want a second Hawkeye number two. I read it over the weekend. It's tremendous. As good as the first one, if not
read
better.
It.
Oh, great.
Reddit.
Yes, I used my words, Nick. I used my words.
I just want to draw your attention. First of all, as a slight rebuttal, Francis Manapul is doing some tremendous work
on
Flash.
In fact, the annual was very, very good. Yeah. That storyline is actually excellent.
How dare you,
I think that the work he does is beautiful.
Nice.
He's going to work on some tremendous X books, hopefully, in the future. If I have my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet. It's not an announcement or anything. Like
anything else you want to plug, Tom? Of yours?
He just plugged.
All right, he plugged a bunch of stuff.
Well, we can plug the slap fight you guys are going to get into right now.
Yeah, check out their car outside where they get into a slap fight. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have two guests for you. We're going to have Fred Van Lente, who's been on the show a bunch of times.
Oh, hell yeah.
And Warren Simons, the executive editor of Valenti, are going to be here to talk about Archer and Armstrong, among other things.
And here's a preview. A preview of what it's going to be like. Well, bro. Listen, bro, we're doing a lot of good stuff over at Valiant, bro. You know, that's how it goes, bro.
Yeah.
Warren's a good friend of mine. He used to work at Marvel. He lives down the street from me.
At the end of every show, our current guests always slam next week's guest. Yeah. Sort of the thing. Yeah. So it makes everyone does an impression. You should have heard last week. It was great.
Oh, no! What have I done?
And we're also going to have... What?
Yeah, ask him about pigeons. That
pigeons?
Dude is obsessed with pigeons.
Warren Simons or Fred Van Lente?
Yeah, I think you have Mike
Warren.
Tyson.
No. No, Mike Warren Tyson. Has rescued more than one pigeon off the street.
He picks it up?
But picks them up with his hands, puts them in a shoebox with holes in it.
Cooks them in a nice butter sauce.
Nope. Takes them to a veterinarian... To
like,
heal
get the fuck
out of
here.
No, to a special veterinarian, not just any veterinarian, like a special veterinarian who deals with that shit. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Who never finished any veterinary school.
No,
because why would you be a pigeon veterinarian?
Maybe.
What is
I don't
going
know.
On right now,
I don't know. Just
going
very
wildly
quickly
off the rail.
Recap.
So we're just
going
to plug all the nice Valiant books that Warren is.
And you have a musical guest, right?
Yeah, we have. Thank you, Nick. We have Fred Van Lente, Warren Simons, and special musical performance from Pearl and the Beard, which is really fun, geeky.
Awesome.
Dance. So they're going to be on.
That'll
be great.
Awesome.
Also, quick plug. Jess and I each wrote one page of this thing that's going to be on Thursday, September 6th, 7:30 at UCB East. We wrote a sequel to The Dark Knight. It's called The Dark Knight 4.
It's the fourth in the Nolan series.
Yeah.
We wrote one page.
That's a coup, guys. You got
thank
that
you
gig.
So much.
Yeah.
It's
great.
We got so much
pay.
Money. So everybody wrote a different page of it without seeing each other's pages. So it's going to
be
crazy.
Be awesome.
So Dark Knight 4, UCB East Thursday, September 6th.
This
at
Thursday.
This Thursday.
Do you guys mind if I plug my...
Nope. Can we say no?
Nope. All right. Also, very briefly, I mentioned this last time, I'm Kickstartering a comic like everybody else, Detective Honey Bear on Kickstarter. It's an all
Honey and the Bear.
Honey and the Bear. Detective Honey Bear. It's on Kickstarter right now. As of right now, thank you guys. We put up a bid to be a guest on the show. Somebody snapped it up in 5 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah, and since then, since past week, we're
that
about...
Person, Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison is good. So, I'll go again on Comic Book Club.
I have to pay for it.
I've been talking about it for years.
Right.
What was anyway, I thinking?
It's pretty close now, so please check it out, Detective Honey.
Glasgow.
A couple of other things.
Edinburgh.
Glasgow.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check out
FullBodiedBabies.com, my personal website.
Check out our website at FullBodiedBabies.com, ComicBookLive.com, ComicBookClubLive.com, or Nerdist.com for the good podcast. Some more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Nick for being on the show. Woo! Tom.
Woo!
Barman.
Barman.
We want to thank Full Bodied Babies. We want to thank Fontanas for having us here. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night in New York City. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody.